As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman time.
Y'all must have forgot why we the best.
People say the punches weren't really necessary.
What do you mean, why were they not necessary?
Because he was already knocked out at that point.
But the referee hadn't pulled me off. And my job is to hit somebody till the referee pulls me off. So to those people, I would say maybe don't watch him and then go back to soccer.
You know, I made history here tonight. I set another record. Etch my name in history one more time.
WFAN and Odyssey.com.
You guys caught me under a bad time, but you know what I'm saying? The Rock's cool. I like ballers. You know what I'm saying? But he picked the wrong side. He picked another side, so he could get it too. He could get his ass whipped too. Straight up. With all due respect, he could get it too.
I definitely want to defend my 145 belt. And let's see, I'm going to talk to Dana. Dana, tomorrow I'm going to call you. We're going to have a talk. I love you, boy.
Here's your Fight Fan host, Pete Hoffman.
This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman. Follow me at the Hoff WFAN, at the Fight Fan with WFAN on Twitter, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman, everywhere else, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app this week. Today, right now, this podcast you're listening to, Dave Feldman, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. Bare Knuckle Fighting, that's the guy, Dave Feldman. He's going to hop on promoting the Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich fight, which is happening Friday night. Also, Janet Todd of ONE Championship. Yes, ONE Championship, Adam Waite, kickboxing champ. She joins us. We talk a ton of stuff. We even get into a little bit of the movie Pig before I watched it, which I did watch it. And you can always watch or listen for the Moose and Maggie show for my review of Pig. But we get into a bunch of different stuff. So both interviews will be in a few minutes. But before we get there, I just want to preview. There's some good stuff going on. Obviously, the bare knuckle fights are going to be this weekend or this Friday. And then we also have the UFC fight, the return of TJ Dillashaw. And then also, which is... You know, the Paul brothers are doing a good job. I can't stand them, but they're doing a good job. Logan Paul has convinced Anderson Silva to get in the cage with him. I don't know how it's happening. I don't understand it. It's Logan Paul right now. Now I'm confused. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's Logan Paul and UFC legend Anderson Silva in talks for a boxing match. I mean, we saw Anderson Silva fight not too long ago. In boxing, and it was long awaited, a little bit out, you know, obviously we would have liked to have seen him in his prime, but you know, it's still cool to see Anderson Silva fight because he still is a name and he still brings that energy and he still brings that aura and he's still a fantastic striker and he did pretty well. Logan Paul wants to fight him. Obviously we saw how that and Floyd Mayweather went and Floyd did what he did and helped out Logan's career, and now he's able to fight a guy like Anderson Silva and not embarrass himself because, you know, he was able to last 8 rounds with Floyd Mayweather, you know what I mean, in an exhibition that people paid money for. Anderson Silva is a little different. Now, clearly, it's only going to be boxing. It's not going to be mixed martial arts because Logan would get literally killed. He'd get a knee to the head, and that just wouldn't be pretty. But I'm curious to see how Anderson Silva's not going to take it easy on him. I don't think you can sway Anderson to take it easy in any sort of way. So I'm curious to see how that's going to go. If and when that does happen. If and when that is something that is official that takes place. I'm curious to see I'm curious to see what he's going to do. I'm curious to see if Anderson Silva just destroys him or allows Logan Paul, again, a similar fight with Floyd Mayweather, where it's like, you know what, I'm going to spar with you, have a good time with it, and, you know, you're not going to knock me out because you're not going to touch me, and I'll do my best not to knock you out. But we'll see. But really, the reason why we're here, the fights that happened this weekend. Friday, it's Paige VanZant versus Rachel Ostovich, BKFC 19 live, and we're going to have Dave Feldman to promote it in a little bit, and he'll tell you how to go watch it. You know, I'm not going to say that I know everybody on this card, but some faces are familiar for sure. So go check it. It's a huge, huge card that they have. And it's I like what BKFC is doing because, again, Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich, two fighters that kind of got... Paige didn't get booted from the UFC, but Rachel kind of did. But they're being taken care of, and they're going to put on a show, and people are going to watch it. People are going to watch these two fight. That's for sure. You know, Paige still has a huge name, and I know other fighters are antsy to see her and fight her. You know, they want to box her, and they want to... And this whole thing with BKFC, the biggest thing is it's not that boxing is new, but it's something that's been promoted for a while where I know Rogan was on it for a long time. Would like to see what mixed martial artists can do without those big gloves or without the fingers popping through. Well, here you go. Now there's no gloves and you get that opportunity. And it's interesting, and again, like a lot of this, the damage we talk about with Dave, it's superficial, so it's not really, people still getting hit, but it's a different type of combat. The significant damages aren't what you would expect in other, whether it's boxing, whether it's MMA, with the padding, the damages are way worse internally. These are all outside damages. So it's that's what people see, and people may think it's barbaric, but it's completely different. And again, smart. Paige VanZant, who is, listen, clearly she's a good-looking woman, same with Rachel Ostovich, but people aren't tuning in to watch two good-looking women, you know, fight and slap each other. No, these girls are combat sports experts. They're fighters, and they're going to go in there, and they're going to try to beat the crap out of each other. And it's fun. It's great. And, you know, he's really doing a good job of bringing in these bigger names. And, you know, Chris Lieben just retired from combat sports, but he hung him up in the BKFC league, in a BKFC promotion, I should say. Artem Lobov, friends with Conor McGregor, he made his way through there as well. There's a ton of people that have made their way now to BKFC. It's BKFC 19, so we've clearly we're almost at 20 of these, and every event has been headlined by a good fighter. You know, I always talk about Bellator, and, you know, I'm always critical of them, and I feel bad about being critical of them, because they're still trying to put out a product that is good, and they just headline it differently. You know, they headline it with the two kind of worn-out fighters that aren't going to really be able, like the Data 5000 fight, Data 500, 5000, whatever it was, versus Kimbo Slice. That fight, you know, if you went in there and said, guys, just please don't take the fight to the ground. Just please go out there and throw a couple punches and someone's going to go down. You know, I think that I'd be more accepting to that, even though I don't want to see these guys fight and I don't want to see them take damage. I'd be more open to that. It's the, here's this long-awaited fight between Chael Sonnen and Fedor Emelianenko, and it's like, I mean, what are we looking for here? Chael's going to take the fight to the ground. He's not going to stand with Fedor. And Fedor, you know, just hoping to get one punch on him. You know, it's just like, is that really fun to me? Is that what we're looking for? Wanderlei Silva getting back in the cage with Bellator. Is that what we're looking for? I don't mind seeing the Michael Venom Page's headline, the Rory McDonald headline. Like, those are the elite fighters. I want to see those guys headline the fights. I want to see those guys be the top draw. And if you want to, you know, throw some of those, sprinkle some of those older fighters in there, I'd be down to watch it. But I can't have that as the main event. This, you know, what Dave is doing is he's putting those type of names together. Maybe they're not prime as much in the MMA docket anymore, but they're still good, legitimate fighters. They're still young. I mean, Rachel and Paige are super young, and they're competitors. And they're going in a specific fight where they're going to have to brawl. They're not going to be able to just be like sit there and jab or you know get somebody and grind them out on the ground. No, there's going to be action here, and again, it's very fast paced. So it again, BKFC. It's fun. It's brutal at times to watch. If you're scared of blood, don't watch it. But if you're into that type of thing, if you're into the cuts are going to happen. That is the thing for sure. But if you're into good boxing and if you're into good fighting, it's definitely something to watch. That's for sure. And I'm excited for it. It's going to be a good card. And then also you got the UFC Sanhagen and the return of TJ Dillashaw. Sanhagen versus Dillashaw. So it's supposed to happen earlier, but I believe it was Dillashaw who had to pull out. So they push it back. It's Saturday, July 24th. It's an earlier card. It's a 7 p.m. main event card starts, not like one of the normal 10 o'clock fights. Decent card. You know, the prelims, Jar Eubanks is on there, Julio Arce, Andre Yule, Mickey Gall, Jordan Williams, Nazdeem Imavov versus Ian Heinisch, who, you know, Heinisch is great. You know, I'm surprised he's actually on the prelims. You got Soriano versus Allen. That's actually a really good card. That's a really good fight. And that's going to end the prelims. And then on the main, you got Corey Sandhagen versus TJ Dillashaw, which is a great fight. Return to Dillashaw. Let's see if he's really back to his old, if he's going to be legitimately contending for a title. He wants his bantamweight title back. You know, obviously he was away for 2 years with the PEDs. We'll see if he's got it all together. You got Aspen Ladd and Macy Chasen. That's going to be good. Aspen Ladd coming off a loss. Was that the injury too? That was Macy Barber. No, she didn't lose. She beat Yana Kuniskaya. Where was her loss? Why am I thinking that she lost recently? I don't remember where her loss was, but she's Jermaine Durandamy. That's what it was. That was a 16-second fight. Oh, that sucked. And then she came back and beat Yana Kuniskaya. Right. The Jermaine Durandamy fight. I forgot about that one. But then you also have Miranda Maverick versus Macy Barber, which I think is a phenomenal. That could be like a pay-per-view fight, those two. That should be a pay-per-view. Like the first fight on a pay-per-view, that's the Miranda Maverick versus Macy Barber. But really decent card. Darren Elkins is on the card. You know, he's another one that loves to brawl. He's facing Derek Minor. We'll see. And it's going to be a really good card. So again, nice batch of fights. We'll be watching, we'll be checking it out. It's Saturday, July 24th. And then you also got, don't forget about the BKFC, bare knuckle fighting, Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich. And that's coming up right now. We're going to talk to Dave Feldman, as I say, quote unquote, the guy of bare knuckle fighting. Here he is, Dave Feldman. This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman, and being joined by a huge special guest. You know bare knuckle fighting? Well, this is the guy. This is the man. This is the person that put it all together. Dave Feldman, what's going on, Dave? How are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Thanks for that introduction. I love being introduced as the guy.
You are the guy. This is, I mean, listen, let's be serious, okay? So bare knuckle fighting is something that I think has been promoted prior to you even putting it together, but the reality is that it wasn't something until you made it what it is. And I know Joe Rogan was someone who was always talking about it for a long time, but you put it on the map and you are the reason for it. And let's be serious, the fighters you're bringing in, I mean, it's growing pretty freaking quick, no?
It's growing phenomenal. I mean, some of the calls I had today, international distribution, international sites, live events we're going to do, it's blowing up. I mean, yes, we've been doing this thing for like 12 years, underground fights in the warehouses, things like that, where we had to, you know, just do what we had to do because people were talking about it and we had to give them something to write about and give them something to talk about. So we did these events and here we are. 3 years after becoming the first legally sanctioned and regulated bare-knuckle fighting event in history. So we're the first one ever. Yeah, man, this thing is catching on fire. We really love the ride, you know, that we're on right now. The fans love it. The fighters love it. So, you know, we're just going to try our best to continue to grow.
Dave, what was the biggest hurdle getting it off the ground, getting it to be legitimate?
First and foremost, it was kind of like perception. Like, the perception of bare-knuckle fighting was it was this brutal backyard thing that someone was going to die in. And I had no statistics or no data to kind of back that up, that it wasn't, that it was safer than boxing or MMA. And now the crazy thing is, as you said, how this thing evolved is next Wednesday, we actually get, for the first time in combat sports history, there will be a bare-knuckle boxing committee formed by the Association of Boxing Commissioners next Wednesday at their annual convention. So that's how far this thing has come in only 3 years.
That's incredible. That's amazing. And the fighters that you're getting to do it, you know, you got this huge card coming up this Friday, July 23rd. Rachel Ostovich versus Paige VanZant, which is a humongous fight. Again, it's two, if a lot of people that are big into UFC know these fighters, the fact that you brought them over, I mean, that's amazing.
No, absolutely. Look, I mean, people say, why do all the fighters want to come and fight for your organization? Why are they all flocking to bare knuckle? You know, the reason really is there's a couple different reasons. Is first and foremost, we treat them very, very well. We treat them as part of the family, and we are growing this family into a bigger and bigger and bigger family right now. The second fold is you have a chance of really becoming a star and standing out in our organization, because in boxing, you have 100, 150,000 fighters. In MMA, you have 100, 150,000 fighters. In bare knuckle, you have 300, 400 fighters in the world right now. So you have a chance of standing out in our sport faster than you do in any other combat sport in the world. And the popularity, your popularity rises while you're in one of our fights. And then, your social media following blows up after the fights and people keep talking about you, allows us as Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship to be able to pay the fighter more money. So right now we're paying the fighters very, very well. We're blowing up their popularity. We're treating them well. The fans love it. The fighters love it. It's just a really awesome recipe for success.
And it's quick too. It's not like it's sitting here, you know, you don't have the 35-minute wars or quote-unquote wars that sometimes turn to be duds. These are quick. It's very, you know, it's very in your face, you know, and that's one thing. Like, I spoke to Mark Taffet, too, not too long ago, and he liked the idea of MMA more than boxing because a lot of the injuries are superficial. Well, a lot of these bare-knuckle fights are more superficial with the injuries as well. You know, you're going to see a lot of blood, but that's because it's all on the outside, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have studies, we have data right now that says that we have less concussive and subconcussive damage. We have less head trauma. We have less facial fractures. And we even have less hand breaks than boxing or mixed martial arts. The only thing we have more of is more lacerations. And what is the public like? The public loves to see blood. We give them blood, but we don't give them the long-term damage that they think they're going to get or that they get from these other combat sports. So, you know, I think we have a really great recipe here. I think this thing is just blowing up. Happy to be where we are right now. The team is just amazing. The fighters are amazing. The fans are unbelievable right now. And, you know, we're just on a trajectory to, surpass these other combat sports in the next 3 years or so.
Well, Dave, tell me a little bit more about, like, you know, obviously you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. This is all up and coming. This is all great stuff. You know, I'm one who is very much a proponent in trying to promote combat sports in all lights. I am someone who has been doing this for a long time now, that I just want people to understand the art that goes into it, the excitement, that it's not this barbaric thing. And it's really, you know, the fighters are unbelievable. They're getting so talented. They're incredible. And they have personalities. And they're not just dumb idiots that are getting in there trying to kill each other. It's not barbaric. But tell me how you got, you yourself, what caused you, or what was your first, how did you first passionately get into the boxing, the combat sports world? What drew you to it?
When I came out of my mother's womb, I was into boxing. My father was a Hall of Fame boxing trainer. He trained 7 world champions. I've been in boxing my whole life. I was a professional fighter. My brother was a professional fighter. My fight became, my house became a fighter's training camp. We had 10, 12 fighters live with us at a time. 3 guys that were on death row. Like, it's just crazy the environment that I grew up in, but I grew up in combat sports. I loved combat sports, and I knew that that was, you know, going to end up.
Dave, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. No, you cut off. Please go ahead and finish your answer. I was losing you there for a second.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, and along the way, I met a fighter that was a gypsy traveler. His name's Bobby Gunn. He was talking to me about how they did these bare-knuckle fights in these fields. They bet money on them. They would solve family disputes in Scotland and England and things like that. I started researching it and said, look, man, this thing can pop if it's done right and regulated the right way and done professional. And like I said, man, we just worked, you know, only 8.5 to 9 years to get it legal and sanctioned. And here we are 3 years after the inception of this sport. And, you know, we're promoting one of the biggest combat sporting events of the summer right now.
No, it's phenomenal. It's exciting. And again, there's a lot of talk behind it. And how do you feel as far as like your competition goes? Because clearly, like, you know, the UFC's up there. There's always a boxing fight, whether it's, you know, there was supposed to be the Fury Wilder 3, but that's gotten delayed a little bit. Canelo is coming back and stuff like that. Where's your biggest competition? Is it boxing? Is it the Triller stuff that they're putting out there? What is the biggest competition for you?
I think my real biggest competition is just finding the proper way and the proper mechanisms to market this to the right person. That's really my only competition. I don't have any competition. The thing that a lot of boxing promoters and a lot of mixed martial arts promoters, even though, you know, the top guys in the world like dealing with me because I stay in my own lane. I'm focused on this sport. I'm focused on growing this sport, exploding this into the mainstream. And because of that, you know, I don't feel like we have a lot of competition. And, you know, I want competition, though, because competition makes you be more successful. It makes you try harder. It allows more people to know about what you're doing. Look, I mean, when McDonald's came out and Burger King came out, then there was competition for that. So everybody, you know, started talking about, do you want McDonald's or do you want Burger King or do you want Wendy's or do you want the next thing that's coming out? Competition is a really, really good thing, and it's something that I definitely want, you know, but I know that I'm going to be able to, you know, always stay on top because we sprinted out of the starting blocks. We did everything right, and you know we're in a great spot right now.
I've heard. Well, you definitely are. I definitely know of and heard of many fighters that are looking to get into your organization. So, is there anyone that you're on the cusp or have signed and just haven't released it yet that you really that you're looking forward to and excited about to can't wait to promote them?
Absolutely, and you know what, man, I really like this interview that we're doing, and I like you, but I can't break it right now because the contracts aren't done yet. So we have like 5 or 6 really top guys that in the next – actually, I'm going in to a meeting right now at the Hard Rock Casino in Tampa, and I'm going to sign 2 of those guys right now. So those signings go good. We have 3 or 4 more signings next week, some really, really top guys in mixed martial arts, and 1 or 2 really, really – big surprises that we're going to have in boxing coming our way. And it's just a matter of time before they all really want to do this because, you know, it's different. It's exciting. It's not just, you know, some guys might not want to do this for a career, but they could be career professional boxers, former world champions, top UFC guys. But this could be a bucket list thing for them where it could be a career thing for other fighters. So it's so unique. It's just so different. You know, it can be something different for really everybody.
No, you know, and that's the thing is, again, you're bringing in really good names. I think that a lot of people see the tasty matches too. It's like, oh my goodness, they're really doing something special. And I know, for example, I'm a fan of Heather Hardy. I had her on the show when Paige first made her debut. She was like, I'm eyeing that fight. I want to get on. I'm very intrigued by what Bare Knuckle is doing. And that's a match that really would be exciting for her to get back in the ring, she said. So it's like that type of thing. I think from all ends, from all sports, with all type of combat sports, they're all seeing what you're doing. And you're right, whether it's a one-off or a long-standing career, you're really doing it all. And how? What's the best way you like to promote these fighters? How do you feel like you, the personality's got to come out, but how do you like, what, do you have something specifically that you have that other organizations don't have when the promotion time comes to get these fights off the ground and into the viewer's eyes?
You know, I think, I mean, we definitely do a hell of a job of promoting, of blowing up our social media and the fighter social media. But like yesterday's press conference, the you know, the table on both sides, it was filled with three girls on one side and three girls at the other side. I mean, I started this thing really like 11 years ago, but the inception of this was 3 years ago, where we became legal and sanctioned. And I had six very attractive women fighting bare knuckle, headlining the show. That was like something like, it was like weird. I'm like, this is crazy. But everybody talks about it. Like, they're like, why are you going to fight bare knuckle? First of all, then we get past, you know, that discussion and that speed bump and that hurdle. And now they understand it more, right? And now they're like, how are these six beautiful women fighting bare knuckle? So the curiosity, the intrigue gets them to tune in. And, you know, look, Paige VanZant, had she went to a different MMA organization, you know, people would have tuned in, but they never would have tuned in like they did for bare knuckle. Because they're like, why would this girl, who a lot of people think is the most attractive woman in combat sports, fight a brutal sport like bare knuckle? So out of curiosity, everybody was tuning in, and that's what just continues to happen with this. It's a curiosity factor at first, and then once you tune in, once you're at a live event, especially when you're at a live bare knuckle event, if you like combat sports, it is over for you. I can almost guarantee, money back guarantee, you come to one of my events, if you don't want to watch it, I'll give your money back.
Listen, Dave, when are you coming to New York? When are we doing? Are we doing AC? Are we doing Mohegan Sun? Where are we at?
I actually have a fight scheduled in New York. It's probably a little further from the city, but I'm going to be doing my first event to break into New York, and then we're going to go in, you know, into mainstream there. But we're going to do the Seneca Allegheny Casino on November 6th will be our first event in New York.
Let's go. I'll be there. I'm going to be there. Let's do that. And listen, Dave, if you have anything you ever want to break, you come over here. I got the platform for you. We'll break all the news, all the signings, whatever you want. I'm your guy, okay?
Awesome. I mean, let me just plug my website. Anyone that wants to see the fight this Friday night, please check out BKFC.com for all the pay-per-view streaming information. Limited tickets available. Everything is available at BKFC.com. Thank you so much for having me.
Dave Feldman, you're the man. You are the guy. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll be in touch. And congratulations on the great success, and can't wait to see this fight tomorrow.
Thank you very much, my man. Take care.
Dave was great, as expected. And again, I'm just looking forward to all what he's doing and how he's putting this stuff together. So it's fun. I'm glad he gave me a few minutes. And I can't wait to go see the fights in New York when they come into town. Was it November 7th? I'll be there. If I'm not there, I'll be at some other UFC event. But I need to be at these fights. I need to go start going back. We need to go back to fights. Going to baseball games is good, but I need to go back to the fights. All right. Let's get to Janet Todd right now. Again.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As I said, she is with one championship, and she's going to hop on right now. Here she is, Janet Todd. This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman. We are being joined right now with Antamweight World Champ in one kickboxing, Janet Todd. How are we doing, Janet?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's Saturday, relaxing with my friends, feeling good.
It's beautiful. So in New York right now, there's a rain delay for the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's been raining for about 3 hours straight, but it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous where you are right now. Where are you right now?
I'm actually in Sunnyvale.
Oh, my. Sunnyvale or Sunnyvale?
Sunnyvale. It's near San Jose, like Northern California.
San Jose, my San Jose Sharks, big fan of the Sharks. They were brutal.
See, I'm not a huge sports person, so I don't know these teams.
you're not a huge sports person, but you kick people for a living.
Oh yeah, I love that sport.
What got you into combat sports?
Oh man, it's a long story, but I'll make it short. I was in college and I was always, you know, active when I was little. I did gymnastics and cheerleading. So I wanted to find a way to continue to stay active without having to run in a gym because I don't like running.
And who does? So my friend,
I don't like running, but for some reason, now that I'm fighting, I have to run a bunch. So look how that worked out. But yeah, my friend took me to a cardio kickboxing place. And yeah, ever since then, I've been I've been doing it.
So let me ask you a question, because you know it's not a sport for the weak. You know, you're in there, you're battling, you're knocking people out. I mean, you're knocking out. I was watching your knockout reel again just a little while ago, and it's brutal. The your striking is elite. It's incredible. How do you have what put you in that mind frame of I'm going to go in and I can going to go compete and try to take people's heads off?
I don't actually think about the knockout. I think it just happens with good timing and technique. But my mindset is more like, you know, I trained hard. I prepared as much as I can. So I'm ready. I'm confident with what I got going on. And I'm just ready to let loose and have fun, because it's the fun part. All the hard training's done. So I get to express myself freely.
In the UFC, for example, right now in MMA, the Muay Thai kicks are being used more and more. The low chop kicks towards the knees are being used more and more and more. Tell me how that's been a thing. That's always been a thing in your game. Why has it taken so long for the mixed martial artists to really start to use that for their advantage?
I don't know. I have no idea why. I mean, everything starts with our feet, right? So kicking out the legs makes sense.
Yeah. You're basically trapping down a tree. You're basically, exactly. Once that's done, they can't get up and it's over. You know?
Yeah, or if you start chopping down the legs, then all of a sudden you switch it up to the head and they don't see it coming.
So what is your favorite strike? What is your go-to strike? The one that you love the most? Is it a Ooh. Head kick, or is it a spinning back fist, or what specifically is your most favorite combo? Even
I love the left kick.
Yeah.
I love all kinds of strikes. I've grown to really, really love the left kick. I thought it used to be my right kick, but I've been more adept with my left kick, and it's been something we've been training for a while. And when you're an orthodox fighter fighting another orthodox, that's sort of the kick that lines up better. And it's harder to see because it's closer to the opponent rather than the right leg, which is behind. So people can kind of see that right kick coming sometimes and be able to catch it pretty easily compared to the left.
When you land the shot flush, does it feel different than when like someone checks it and blocks it? Like, I feel like, for example, like when I've been in striking, or when I've like, you know, even hit like a baseball, like the sweet spot, is there a sweet spot to a swing and a punch and a kick for you?
Yeah. It's actually more the technique. When it doesn't feel like if you don't do it right, it feels like you're carrying the weight of your leg when you're kicking, rather than when you use like your whole core and your body to actually make that rotation. I feel like it's more about technique. And if you have good technique, then it just feels effortless when you kick and it just flows out of you, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I know it does. Cause it's like, cause when it doesn't flow, you sometimes feel the pain of like, oh, that didn't go right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh man, my leg felt heavy, or like, oh, like you kind of lose your balance a little bit after you've done the kick. So
how long did it take for you to be like at that level where your technique was flawless?
Oh, my technique is still not flawless. Are you kidding me?
Are you sure?
Oh yeah. There's always room for improvement. Right. I just the other day I was working just like small little tweaks to my right kicks because I wasn't rotating my hips the right way or rotating my shoulders enough. So, you know, I continue to work the basic techniques and just refine them even better.
Do you, you've been doing this for a while now.
Yes.
Do you feel that you have to change coaches, you have to switch it up here and there, you can't stay stagnant, that everybody sees things a little different, or do you prefer the consistency of like, I like my coach, he's taught me or she's taught me this exact way, and I feel just the most comfortable with this?
So I'm going to break it down in two ways. With coaching, yes, I stay with one coach because I've built up a relationship over the years, and he knows me better than I know myself sometimes, and knows when my body's actually breaking down and I should, like, you know, taper back. And even though I don't feel like it. So, and he knows how I'm feeling emotionally, you don't see it in my face sometimes. So having somebody that understands you like that is really important, and someone I trust, and that comes over time. So in terms of coaching, you know, I like working with the same person, and I've worked with Brian Popejoy for over 10 years, who's my coach. As for like my technique and stuff, I feel like we're constantly evolving and finding new ways to incorporate things. And I don't think it's good to stay stagnant. You know, that's a lot of fighters sometimes plateau and then they don't continue to improve. And I don't want to be one of those. So I kind of, you know, my coach and I find ways to try to add a new technique, and just work on things that I'm not comfortable doing to get better at it. So I'd say in terms of technique, I don't stay stagnant. In terms of, you know, my coaching and my team, it's a trust that I built over time and a relationship I built over time that I want to keep.
No, that's great. No, because again, the one thing is, you're right. The sport is ever changing. We see different talent level coming through, and you have to keep up with it. You know, it's just, I've spoken to many fighters that, you know, that are in their 30s that they're like, you know what, I think it's almost time for me to hang up, because these kids are coming in, they're doing different things, their techniques are different, and I have to adjust, and I don't know if I can compete anymore with them. And you're still at an elite level where you can. So you kind of have to keep up and ever change, which is, you got to throw something different at these kids too. Screw them, right?
Exactly. The sports dynamic, it constantly evolves. So you have to evolve with it. And there's actually a good podcast with, I was just talking to my friend about it, with John Donaher and Lex Friedman, where John Donaher was talking about how he can evolve some of his fighters, being able to train with people that are less experienced to be able to work out these new techniques in a way where there's less resistance, and then kind of working your way, adding more resistance, and then being able to practice that technique that maybe you weren't able to do before with a more, you know, highly skilled person that are more at your level. So kind of building your technique from like no resistance to the most resistance. So I really liked how he kind of explained that mindset. And I feel like that's what my coach does as well.
It's all about mind game too, right? I mean, it really is. You really have to have the headspace for it, because that's what I love about mixed martial artists in general, is that the intellect that's there, it's not the typical prototypical like dumb jock. Like, I feel like a lot of people are just like, oh, these people out there trying to kill each other, and they must be very low intelligence. I'm like, these fighters, the exact opposite. It's the mind game that you guys have. You're playing chess out there. It's not just your typical boxing where it's like, you know, you got two limbs and you got two striking points to work with, and you're working the head and the body, and that's it. When you throw it in the knees and the kicks, it's a whole different ball game that we're playing here. And it's an amazing, and it's, I can't do it. That's why I just like to talk it. That's my thing. I love watching it. I love talking it. I can't do it. You do it for me. So I thank you for that.
No, I love watching it too. It's really beautiful when you see two high level fighters that are at the same level being able to, you know, compete against each other.
Did you watch it before you started to get involved with training, stuff like that? Like, when you were a cheerleader, were you like, oh, I love watching the sport too? No. Or no?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. My husband, oh, he was my boyfriend at the time, but he's my husband now. He lived with a fighter, so he kind of understands this lifestyle. So, I mean, I'm very lucky to have found him, but anyway, I kind of digress a little bit.
It's all good. That's
he kind of introduced
here.
Me to some K1 fighters like Ernesto Hoost and Peter Ertz. So those were the, I was watching the heavyweights first.
Did you ever strike with those guys?
No. I got to meet Ernesto Hoost though. That was pretty cool.
That's awesome. And that's where we originated from too. Cause I used to watch K1 all the time, like on ESPN and stuff like that. Or just whatever, like K1 was always floating around and I'd always tend to flow to kickboxing more than boxing anyway. Like even before I was really dove into like the MMA world, I was always tending to go towards the K1 because I just liked the different approach. The fact that there was more limbs to strike with that. And I felt like there's always more knockouts and I'm a fan of the knockouts, you know, it is what it is. Janet Taj joining us right now. Janet, you know, you have one of your former co-workers, I could say, Misha Tate, is fighting tonight.
Oh, yeah. She
for the
is
UFC.
Fighting
yeah, it's a return to the cage. But give me her presence with one. Did you ever speak with her? Was she influential to you at all with one when she was her time?
Oh, yeah. She was she's so nice, but she's so mean in the ring, right?
Yeah. No, she's badass. She's badass.
Yeah. She was so welcoming. I got to meet her a couple times and did some post-fight interviews with her. I'm excited for her to be like, she has two kids now. I think the last time I saw her, she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So to be able to have two kids, go back, you know, train back up and get back in the ring. That's amazing.
What's been the longest time out of the cage or the ring for you? What's been the longest that's been?
It was last year. I didn't fight for a year, almost a year.
So Misha Tate's now taking how many? She's taking years off. Think about that. Her last fight was versus Pennington. Which UFC was that? It was about four or five years ago. So think about that. 4 or 5 years. Is there such a thing as ring rust, cage rust? How do you feel about that?
You know, I think if you have the mental resilience, which I think Misha Tate does have, no matter what happens, even if there's a little bit of ring rust and it doesn't feel as comfortable in the ring, she's gonna find a way to get over it.
Yeah.
I think she's still, the mentality isn't something that you lose. And I'm sure she had that mentality when she was training for this fight. So.
You talk about the mentality going into the cage, though, it goes into the ring and you see like, you know, your opponent across from you, they're trying to take your head off too. Do you ever have jitters about your opponent at all, or you're just so focused on what you need to do?
I remember one moment. my fight against Ekaterina in Japan. I didn't see her at all the week leading up to the fight. Usually I get to see my opponent before I say hi. Cause it's a, you know, it's a sport and, you know, we're all, you know, I'd like to think we're all friends at the end. But I didn't see her at all leading up to the fight. So I knew she was tall. And usually tall girls aren't shredded. they're usually more, you know, a little bit skinnier. But when I saw her enter the ring and I saw how tall she was and how shredded she was, I was like, oh, wow. All right, we're in this. All right, let's do this thing.
Do you feel like an extra energy of like, I'm happy for the challenge. I can't wait. Or is there like a, not timid. I don't want to say timid because I don't think you're timid for anybody, but is there like a hesitation of maybe I need my approach wasn't, do you have to change your approach for a taller fighter that's shredded like that and you're changing anything or just you trust the system?
I mean, there's for every fight, I have nerves like in the warm-up room. It's not like I'm, completely fearless, but I feel like the nerves are part of the normal process of getting my body ready. So I just kind of reaffirmed to myself, all right, this is part of the normal process. You know, I'd done the best I can. I trained the hardest I can. So I got nothing to lose here. So that's sort of the mentality I go in with, knowing that I'm, you know, as well prepared as I can be. And I have all my skills ready at my fingertips.
who's more nervous, you or your husband, though? Because I don't know about
my husband, hands down.
Yes, and I agree with that. I understand that because I sit there. I have friends that fight. I'm just watching fights. People that I don't even know. I'm just watching the fights, and I get jittery. It's like I got no skin in the game. I'm not betting. I'm just watching. I just love the sport itself, and I'm bugging out. It's one of the combat sports are my favorite because it's a flip of a coin. Anything can happen. Just the craziest things happen on a regular. It's a one punch, you know, puncher's chance sometimes. And that's why I love combat sports. That's why I try to promote it so much. You know, do you feel like one as well has helped promote the fact that you guys are on TNT? Yeah. I mean, the sport is just growing and growing and growing, you know, and it's in the States now too. So it's amazing.
No, they're a big part of that promotion, especially of Muay Thai and kickboxing and more like the international scene. They've done so much just promoting the sport, being able to watch it on YouTube, being able to watch it from their app and making it like just readily accessible for people has really helped, I feel, grow the sport by doing so. And man, they were talking about having a show out here in the States. It's just, you know, COVID happened. So I hope it still becomes a reality.
It's
after all this.
It's going to happen. We're all getting there. It's going to happen. I mean, things are in a little bit of a delay, but it's going to happen. When is your next scheduled fight? Has that been announced yet?
No, it hasn't. So I'm just kind of maintaining and still training and you know, when I get the call, I'll be ready.
When do you hope to fight? You're always training. That's something that you do, but when do you prefer to? When is there a time specifically where you're like, all right, this fits my schedule nice because I want to go on vacation or
yeah, work gets pretty busy for me at the end of the year. So I'm hoping to get a fight in before work gets busy.
Okay. We'll try to get that done. Are you guys listening to One Championship? Let's go. Get me a fight. Is there anything else that like is there downtime for Janet Todd? What are we doing? When are you going on vacation? What do you like to do leisurely? You're not a big sports fan, except for combat sports. You're not going to ball games. You're not going watching hockey, basketball. What is Janet Todd doing?
You know, I usually go to the beach, hang out with my husband and my puppy Frankie. But this weekend I went to go see some of my friends up in Sunnyvale. I'm here for the weekend. So I haven't seen, these are friends that I met in college and at the gym when I was, you know, at Cal Poly. So
that's, you know, awesome.
It's nice to see everybody.
How your puppy, Frankie, how old is your puppy?
She's one and a half.
One and a half. Is she settled down yet? Is she relaxed? Cause I got a puppy. She's 5 months. Her name is Joni and she's crazy. She's a little mini schnauzer. And I don't know why we did that.
I know. They're a lot of work, right? I was
yeah.
surprised.
Yeah. I have three kids, so I don't need to deal with that either. So I got three
you
kids.
You have three kids on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I work at 11 o'clock at night or 2 and 6 in the morning. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm now I get it. Now I know you don't sleep at all.
No. This is,
I still need my sleep.
Listen, if anything, I crash. I don't know if that's considered sleeping, but I crash. I crash on couches. I crash on my bed once in a while. We do that here and there. It happens. You need to close your eyes. But yeah, there's no sleeping. It's all good. It's life. You got to deal with it. Can I ask you some really dumb question? Are you a movie fan at all?
I mean, I guess I watch movies, but I haven't watched a movie recently.
Okay, so there is this movie. I don't have the premise exactly in front of me, but so do you know who Nicolas Cage is?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
Right, okay. But he hasn't really been in a hit film in a while. Like, I remember, what is it? Big movies were like The Rock, Face Off. I'm trying to think of another. He's been in some huge movies, and he's kind of been fading a little bit. The movie that just came out yesterday is called Pig. It's about a truffle hunter whose pig was stolen and he has to find it. And I'm not, there's more to the story, but like it's outrageous. I read the review. I saw the trailer. I was like, okay, this is going to be the worst movie in history. The Rotten Tomato, do you know that whole?
Yeah. I checked that.
Okay. What type of rating?
I checked that before movies.
What type of rating do you think Pig has received on Rotten Tomato?
Based on just your summary?
Yeah.
I give it a 56.
98.
No.
That's what I'm saying. What the hell? I don't even understand. Like, it seems like the dumbest thing in the world is getting 98 on Rotten Tomato. What is this world coming to?
Let's have some twists. I don't know what kind of twist it can have.
He's looking for his pig. That's the twist. He's a truffle hunter looking for his pig. That's the twist.
Must be a really cute pig.
I don't know. I guess, well, pigs are cute, Jeremy. Maybe it's a little tiny hog. I don't know. But I'm just confused. I'm taking my wife out on a date to watch it tomorrow. We're going to go out there. We're going to have a good time. We're going to watch Pig. And I'll let you know how it goes. That's what I'm up to tomorrow night. My off day. So go bring your husband. Go bring Frankie. You guys can go watch Pig and let me know if you guys enjoy it. It's supposed to be better than John Wick. If you're familiar with John Wick movies.
I'm familiar with it.
So then there you go. I guess it's a little action based. I don't get it. Hey, listen, it's original, I guess, right?
Yeah. I've never heard of a movie about searching for a truffle pig.
No. Well, there you go.
You know, we call Frankie a truffle pig sometimes. The way she's a Frenchie.
Oh, so you got the French bulldog. There you go.
Yeah, so she kind of snorts as she's sniffing around. And she loves sniffing for food. So she's her little truffle pig.
I've always wanted a French bulldog. That's the dog I want. That's what I want. We got a mini schnauzer instead. But that's what I want, the French bulldog. Have you put her on the skateboard yet?
Oh, my God. We tried when we first got her. Like when she was about 4 or 5 months, we tried to put her on a skateboard. She wasn't having it.
She wasn't having it. No.
I wish. I see those videos all the time of those bulldogs just skateboarding away. I was like, man, that'd be so cool.
That's what I wanted.
That's what I used to do. That's what we used to do on the weekends. I go skateboarding and my husband has a one wheel. So we just take that and cruise along the coast.
Oh, get out of here.
But with a Frenchie, you know, we can't really do that. She doesn't last that long. She walks a mile and then she's already super, super tired.
She'll short legs and a fat dog. Wait, so you're a skateboarder. That's cool. Wait,
I wouldn't call myself a skateboarder. I leisurely skateboard.
You don't do any tricks at all?
No. My coach does, though. My coach can skateboard.
Do they ever do the X Games or something like that? Are they Tony Hawk-ish or no?
I don't know.
I like watching the extreme sports too, because that's another thing where just like I can't do that. I have a bike. I bike to work now because parking in the city is stupid. So I literally park my car and I bike like a half hour. But I would never be able to. I could barely get the bike off the ground. Like I'm a big guy, but like I can't really do any type of tricks. I wouldn't want to attempt it. I went snowboarding. And like there was like a little ramp and I tried it and I went flying up in the air, landed on my back. I'm like, never again. I'm not me jumping is not, it's not good for me. It's I'm better off on the ground. It's safer that way. But that's cool though. See, so skateboarding, that's cool. And the beach. So that's what it is. It's skateboarding. It's beach. It's relaxation. You don't go hunting, do you? You're not a hunter.
No, my husband used to. Before we got married and stuff. And I used to be into shooting, actually. He got me into it. I never held a gun until I started dating him. And yeah, we actually used to go shooting a lot. But in LA, you have to, like, I like going to the outdoor range, and it's still a little bit far for us. And I, with all the training and work, I just want to relax on the weekends.
I understand. You want to go out. Do you drink wine on the weekends? Do you enjoy stuff like that? Or are you just like no drinking during training?
I don't drink often at all. I could probably count how many times I've drank in the year.
Hey, that's okay. Hey, listen, it's all good. Like I'm always trying to figure out what people do on the weekends, how people like wind down, if there's anything that like, you know.
My weakness is sugar. So I'll have like, I like to relax with some popcorn and some Sour Patch Kids. And as I eat and the crumbs fall, Frankie just comes up on my chest and starts eating it. So I'll never have crumbs in the bed anymore since I've got her.
There you go. That's a win. So that's great. So my you're like my 8-year-old. He loves Sour Patch Kids. That's his weakness too. But listen, I love candy. I love everything. I love all types of food. Popcorn's fantastic. That's why I'm looking forward to tomorrow night going to a movie theater, just getting some popcorn. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh yeah, that's the best.
Janet, Todd, again, thank you so much for the time. You've been fantastic. Anything that you would like to promote? Obviously, there's no fight yet. We're looking for it, but anything else that you want to promote yourself?
No, you know what? I'd like to say thank you to everyone that's always like encouraged me and sends me nice messages on, you know, my social media before a fight or even after a fight or even now. You know, I really appreciate all the positive messages. So yeah, I you know, thank you. And obviously to all my sponsors too, that allow me to do this.
Well, thank you for doing what you do, because we enjoy it. I mean, obviously you're putting your life out there on the line every day. I always say that to every fighter, you really do. It's a sport. You may not say it, but the reality is it's a very dangerous sport, but we love it and we love what you do. So thank you so much for doing that. And it's not for our entertainment. It's for your pride. Am I right? Is that what gets you, motivates you to get into that cage, get into that ring?
You know, I always just love the challenge of it, to be honest. And for me, it's about just giving my best performance. That's when I feel the best.
Well, you do the best and you continue success. And thank you again for the time, Janet Todd.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I fantastic. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time. And seriously, would love to have you on once you get the announcement for your next fight. Come on again. Love to do this. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Janet, thank you. Be safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and go watch it.
Enjoy the movie.
Yes. You go watch Pig now with your husband too. Let me know what you think. All right.
Now I'm curious. You got me curious now.
98% on Rotten Tomato for a truffle pig movie. Something's up here. Something's up.
They're usually hard. Like on Rotten Tomato, the ratings are usually pretty, pretty hard.
That's what I'm saying. Either like three people have reviewed this movie or like it really is that good. So we'll find out. I'll let you know though. Janet, thanks again for the time. I appreciate it. All right. Be safe.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you guys.
Rick, thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm going to go see Pig 2.
Yes. Let's all go. Let's do a group Zoom while we're watching it. All right, guys. All right. Thanks.
All right. Have a good night.
Again, Janet Todd of ONE Championship. Atom weight world champ for kickboxing was awesome, and looking forward to see when she fights next. Again, thank you so much for following at the Hoff WFAN, at the Fight Fan WFAN, right? At the Fight Fan WFAN, that sounds about right. At the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman, everywhere else, Instagram, Facebook, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app. I will see you guys as always Monday through Friday with Moose and Maggie, and then I will also have another podcast coming out on Friday. This is a little earlier today just because we have the Friday event, so we want to make sure we give it a little extra push, a little extra plug. Got to give the BKFC some love, and then Saturday's event. But we'll have at least a podcast next Friday. And if anybody was at the live broadcast of my last pay-per-view for UFC 264. Plan on doing it again, UFC 265. Same place, Mickey Spillane's. And there might be some little post-game stuff afterwards as well, live on Facebook. So we're going to get going, and we'll keep you posted on what we do. But it's exciting news. There's exciting stuff coming through. But again, I appreciate you guys listening, and I will see you guys next week on the Fight Fan with Pete Hoff.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to it. to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.